Our guest, returning champ, who hosts the Steelers podcast, part of the Great Believe Network. You can follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at Mark Bergin. That's B-E-R-G-I-N. Mark is back. Mark, how's your holiday season rolling along as we kind of make our way to 2024?
You can accuse me of sipping the Mason Rudolph Kool-Aid, but I think we'll remember the win over the Bengals as the Mason Rudolph Festivus game, and he helped salvage the Steelers season at least for another week. We'll see what Pittsburgh does in the final 2 weeks of the season as both of these teams, the Steelers and Seahawks, are trying to make a playoff push.
Yeah, the question was, did Mason Rudolph have to participate in the feats of strength once he got back into the into the locker room?
Yeah. That or the airing of the grievances, tomato, tomato.
You know, it's fair to say these past two seasons, kind of a testament to the organization, you know, Mike Tomlin, because I don't have to tell you, there was a point last year they were 5-8. They won out, a three-game losing streak this year. Then it looked like they were dead in the water. Then they blew out the Bengals. How much of a kind of a not quite dead yet vibe are you getting from this team?
Well, a week ago we were talking about, is this Mike Tomlin's final year? He's had 17 seasons as the Steelers head coach and thus far still doesn't have a losing season, but it points to the lack of playoff success and really how inept this offense has been, really since the Killer Bees were still around, if we're being honest here. And really when Ben Roethlisberger blew out his elbow in the 2019 season in the second week, this offense hasn't been right. Now, you still have an opportunity to make the playoffs, and Rudolph seems to have salvaged things, but this is an offense that has really, really struggled this season. And here's essentially how you're looking at this from Pittsburgh's standpoint going into this game. Tomlin handled the whole quarterback controversy pretty masterfully on Tuesday when he spoke to reporters. The Steelers are essentially starting Rudolph over Pickett this weekend, but they're blaming Pickett's ankle injury instead. I think the real answer to all of this will be, assuming Rudolph starts on Sunday, who is his backup? Is it Kenny Pickett who's the backup, or are they going to say Trubisky and rest Pickett for one more week coming off that tightrope ankle surgery? We'll see this weekend, but Tomlin handled the whole PR spiel earlier this week pretty well, considering it looks like Pickett probably could play if he had to, but you got to roll with the hot hand, and Rudolph did some things that we haven't seen a Steelers quarterback do really since Roethlisberger was the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I want to get to that Cincinnati game because, yeah, it obviously was not the Joe Burrow team. You know, they were viewed as an AFC contender. You know, the performance against Browning, 3 picks, 3 sacks, you know, the 24-0 lead, and they never really got challenged. Just that performance with the pretty much the season hanging in the balance, I mean, how – much of a, I want to call kind of a resuscitation job was that?
Well, they win the turnover battle 3-0 in that game, so that was huge. But remember, the Steelers have had success against the Bengals this season. In the first game that they played, when the Steelers fired Matt Canada, something the Steelers don't typically do, their offensive coordinator, the Steelers hadn't fired a head coach or coordinator mid-season. You have to go back to the World War II era,
right.
1941. And in the first game without Matt Canada as OC, the Steelers put up 400 yards, something they hadn't done in several seasons. So then this past week, they play the Bengals again, and Mason Rudolph, of all people, lights it up. And what he did was he knew where to go with the football. He stepped up into the pocket, but maybe most importantly, he got the ball to George Pickens. George Pickens only had 4 catches, but he had almost 200 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. He's the Steelers' best offensive player. So if you have a quarterback that can get him the ball, you know, Pickens got a lot of flack for not blocking for teammates and giving up on plays, but you can understand the frustration because you see what he can do last week with the ball in his hands. The Steelers need to prioritize getting him the football, and if you want to take Pickens away, well, that creates one-on-one matchups for other players. They have to eat given their opportunities. So that, to me, is what Rudolph did that other quarterbacks haven't done is you see what a special talent that George Pickens is, to me, that would be my strategy of, yeah, try to run the ball, try to establish the line of scrimmage, but by all means necessary, get the ball into number 14's hands.
Talking with Mark Bergen, host of the Steelers podcast on the Believe Network. As far as this offensive line, which of course has been a staple of excellence, I know the former Oregon Stater, Isaac Seumalo, is questionable, but otherwise they got the rookie from Georgia, Broderick Jones at right tackle, James Daniels, who they brought in from the Bears last year. How would you evaluate the kind of season we've seen from the big fellas up front?
Well, let me start with Seumalo. He was a full participant in practice today. We're recording this on Thursday, so I'd imagine he'll be able to play given his practice designation. He did not practice on Wednesday due to a shoulder injury, but again, he practiced today. It's been up and down. I think the reason why you put Broderick Jones in there is to give you some physicality. He's what we call the dancing polar bear when he was coming out of Georgia, meaning he can get to the second and third levels of defense and do things that a man of that size and stature shouldn't be able to do. Dan Moore Jr. is under contract through the remainder of this season and next on a cheap contract. I'd imagine in the offseason they'll part ways with Chooks or Corafor just given his cap hit. The one thing I'd say with this line is, there's been continuity the last 2 years. They've been able to avoid injuries. Mason Cole, the center, has taken a lot of flack up front, just not being able to get a push up front. That's a position where a lot of Steelers fans that really, really watch the team closely would like to see the Steelers upgrade in the offseason, whether it be through the draft or free agency. But, again, I almost liken it to when Pickett was in there, if he's immediately rolling out or sliding out of the pocket, not trusting the pocket, not trusting his line up front, that was a key difference I saw this last week with Mason Rudolph, in that he was stepping up into the pocket, and when you do that, good things happen. You've got to get in rhythm. You've got to. It's like a quarterback. A line has to get in rhythm and in tandem as well. But that's the one thing when this offense has struggled, you can point to the predictability of play calling or bad play calling or bad strategy. You can talk about players loafing and then not executing. You talk about the line, not establishing the line of scrimmage. It's almost like that Spider-Man meme where they're just pointing at each other of when this offense has had problems, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And it's like at the end of the day, they're all accountable. Because if they try to play football like they have in 2023 and beyond, there's only so much success that you're going to have. Now, the flip side of that is, if Pittsburgh somehow sneaks into the playoffs, there's not an AFC team that strikes fear in your hearts, because you say, well, Baltimore's the number one seed in the AFC. Well, the Steelers beat Baltimore earlier this season. And if they beat Seattle this upcoming weekend, you're setting up for a season finale showdown against your bitter rival. And if Baltimore already has the number one seed locked up, the Ravens might be resting all their starters in Week 18. So you got to take care of business and take it one game at a time. At the same time, if I'm Pittsburgh this offseason, I'm approaching it this way. I'm bringing in an OC to give fresh blood and a new play caller, and I'm getting an OC from outside of the organization. Matt Canada was the quarterback's coach under Randy Feuchner, the previous offensive coordinator. There has to be someone, whether you want to continue with Mike Tomlin or not. The first thing I would do is, if you're going to keep Tomlin, you have to extend his contract beyond 2024. Otherwise, he's a lame duck coach. You don't want an OC coming in with a lame duck coach. You're not going to attract the best offensive coordinator that you can get. Decide whether you want to keep Tomlin or not. But then you got to bring in a new OC to try to get Kenny Pickett right. And then I would try to draft and develop a quarterback in mid to late rounds. I'd part ways with Mitch Trubisky in the offseason. He's getting every opportunity, not just in Pittsburgh, but dating back to his days in Chicago. And then we'll see what Rudolph can do this week and next. But Rudolph has had opportunities in this league as well. The one thing I would say is, I think the personnel is better around Mason Rudolph than when he got his real opportunity in that 2019 season. And then before last week, he hadn't played in an NFL regular season game since the 2021 season. He filled in for one game when Ben Roethlisberger had COVID. So we'll see how all this shakes out Sunday. I know there's a lot to unpack there. I'm rambling at this point.
That's a lot of information, though. I'm an information junkie, so you're preaching to the choir. A couple final thoughts for Mark Bergen, host of the Steeler podcast on the Outstanding Believe Network. This game with Seattle, a team who, like Pittsburgh, kind of looked like they were toast. Then they beat Philly, then saved their season last week on the road at Tennessee. So in prepping for this one, you know, listening to the coaches and players, what's the buzz about facing a Pete Carroll coach team, you know, who, like Tomlin, has found a knack for winning these big games?
Well, Geno Smith due back for Seattle, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so you don't have to go up against Drew Lock and the young Jeezy swag that he brings to the table. And he did a tremendous job in that Monday night game a few weeks back, to where it's just like the team really rallied around him and they got a huge win when he was filling in for Geno Smith. To me, it's no surprise that the Seattle Seahawks kind of rallied around Smith a year ago, and then they're the seventh seed entering this week, because we're kind of seeing this show face right now in Denver with Russell Wilson, where it's like, look, it's cool when you're winning, but I this is just my opinion. It kind of rings hollow when you're not winning and you bring that just a big ego, an ego to where you need that to have success in this league. But when you're not putting up W's, it wasn't a surprise to me that last year this team rallied around Geno Smith. We'll see if they can do that again. But don't forget, the last two times these two teams played, it was late in the game. T.J. Watt overcomes a triple team and strip sacks Geno Smith. So if T.J. Watt's on the field, I think Pittsburgh always has a chance. And if Watt gets three more sacks in these final 2 weeks of the season, he's going to make history. He'd be only the fourth player in NFL history to record multiple seasons with 20-plus sacks, joining the likes of guys by the name of Deacon Jones and J.J. Watt, his brother, as well. So, I mean, these storylines write themselves. But Seattle, always a tough, tough opponent in the NFC West. And I'll say this, too. The AFC North prides itself on its physicality and the bully ball mentality. I think the NFC West as a conference overall is very comparable in terms of style of play in that regard.
Yeah, you know, Carroll likes to play physical, run the ball. But I need to close with this, because you're a Missouri alum. And, you know, for Duck fans, look right below you in the rankings, because that's where the Tigers are at 9. And they've had a hell of a season, played Georgia tough at Athens, beat Tennessee. And now they play Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. So what's the buzz among you and your Tiger fans and your friends that you went to school with about this huge game and the kind of season Mizzou had?
Yeah, I think it's all thanks to the likes of Cody Schrader, the running back.
Yep.
He's made the most of his opportunity as a walk-on. I honestly thought that he'd, I'm not saying he should have won the Heisman Trophy, but deserved more Heisman Trophy consideration, because you put an SEC team at 10-2 with the losses they had, a close loss to LSU, and they played Georgia about as tough as anyone can. If you put Schrader in, say, an Alabama uniform or an LSU uniform, I think he gets that invite to New York. So he's been big. Eli Drinkwitz has built a program that, like, I hope they can build upon this next year with a lot of guys coming back. I'll say this, too. The guy I would look at that, if he could come out in the draft this year, I think he'd be a top 10 pick. Luther Burden, the third at the wide receiver position, is a guy who will be a top draft pick in the 2025 draft class. I honestly think he would be right there with, like, Marvin Harrison Jr., who'll go against in the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State, or at least he would. Harrison probably won't play. I believe he's opted out of the game. But then Malik Nabers out of LSU, too, one of the top receiver recruits. Like, if Burden could leave this year, he can't because he's only a sophomore. He is a dynamic playmaker and someone that I'm looking forward to watch showcase his ability on a national stage in the Cotton Bowl. He's made play after play after play after play for Mizzou this season. And, like, I love it because Missouri hasn't had double-digit wins since I was in school almost a decade ago. And to get back into SEC supremacy, like, kind of the redheaded stepchild of the SEC. And it's like, until you can win a conference title, everyone else just kind of looks at you in a different way. But Missouri's had a great, great season this year, and it gives me joy to say I actually enjoy watching my beloved Tigers again, because it's been a long time coming.
Going back to the Gary Pinkel years. Folks,
yes, sir.
He's Mark Bergen. Check out his Twitter feed, at Mark Bergen. You can link to the Steeler podcast at Believe. Mark, great having you back. Enjoy the weekend. Have a tremendous 2024. By the way, go Tigers, screw Ohio State. And I'll always look forward to catching up again down the road.
Steve, appreciate you having me. Check us out on YouTube, and I'm hoping for another Festivus miracle this weekend.
Have a good one, Mark. Thanks a
lot.
Take it easy.